Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue our sermon series on the book of Ephesians. We'll be focusing on the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. This section focuses on the power of words. We are in a spiritual war with our three main enemies, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. In order to fight that battle, we have to use spiritual weapons, and the spiritual weapons are words. Words are powerful. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Words can literally bring life or death to people. We have the power through our words to either bless or to curse. We have the power to either make a person's life better or to make it much, much worse. So the Bible tells us to choose our words carefully. And in Ephesians 4 and 5, Paul shares with us as new people in Christ four kinds of words that we should speak. Number one, encouraging words. Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." I don't have to tell you that verse is extremely convicting. It doesn't say try to limit your unwholesome talk or don't do too much of it. It says don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That word unwholesome literally means rotten, as in spoiled milk or rotting meat. Get rid of all the rotten talk in your life. Instead, speak words of encouragement, words that will build others up according to their needs. To encourage someone literally means to make them more courageous. And of course, no one is a better encourager than God himself. The Lord did that for Joshua when he took over leadership for God's people. God said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua 1 verse 9. God wants us to make a habit out of encouraging each other, not just once in a while, but every day. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So when we speak, we want to carefully choose words that will make people more courageous, words that will encourage them and build them up. And notice what else Paul says, according to their needs. Now you might be thinking, how could I possibly know someone else's needs? Pastor Larson, I'm not a mind reader. I can't guess what people's needs are. No, you're not a mind reader, but you have an incredible ability, the ability to listen. The only way to know people's needs are to listen a lot. Everyone needs encouragement. The Bible says encourage one another daily. I encourage you to think about the people in your own household. You don't have to go to a foreign mission field to encourage people. The best place to start is in your own house. I want to challenge you today to think about these questions. How can I encourage my spouse today? How can I build up my kids according to their needs? How can I encourage my parents? How can I encourage my brother or my sister today? Encourage one another. Build others up according to their needs. Number two. Calm words. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Ephesians 4:31. As we talked about last week, angry feelings are not something we want to indulge. We want to say no to anger and yes to patience, peace, and forgiveness. Just like we should get rid of all unwholesome talk, the Bible says to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, slander, and every form of malice. Let me just talk a few minutes about each of those words. Bitterness is anger that has taken root. It's turned into resentment. It's poison for your soul. You need to get rid of that. Anger, of course, feelings of wrath, wanting to take vengeance on someone. Rage and brawling are violent outbursts of anger. Yelling and screaming that can sometimes lead to physical violence. Slander can be abusive language, false accusations, trying to destroy someone's reputation, calling people names. All of these are out of place for God's holy people. Indulging in any of those things, of course, is wrong and hurtful and evil. And that's not how God wants us to use our words. Those kind of words can do great damage. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Reckless words pierce like a sword. Like I said, words are powerful. They have the power of life and death, right? Pierce like a sword. That's not something I think we can relate to much today. Instead, I think what we could say, our reckless words are like a loaded AR-15 being fired randomly in every direction. Who knows how much damage you could do with reckless words in a short amount of time. The Bible tells us not to be angry when we speak, but to be calm and gentle. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Isn't that fantastic? Now, Jesus, of course, is the greatest healer who ever lived. He went around healing people, even raising people from the dead. Now, most of us don't have the gifts of healing. Some of us are members of the medical community, doctors or nurses or therapists or aides, and those people can do healing. But most of us don't do too much physical healing, but we can heal people with words of kindness and gentleness. The tongue of the wise brings healing, or as Proverbs 15 verse 4 puts it, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Another awesome verse. Gentle words are a tree of life. Choosing words that are gentle can bring healing and peace to people's hearts and their lives. Being gentle doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't come to us naturally. It's not how the sinful nature works. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Gentleness is not natural, it is supernatural. But gentle words can bring healing and life to people. Tongue has the power of life and death. Choose your words carefully. Don't use angry words. Don't use words that hurt. Use words that bring calm, gentleness, and peace to a situation. Number three, forgiving words. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. Now we're getting to the heart of the Christian life, right? Be kind and compassionate to one another. Use words of kindness, words that help others and bless others. As Peter tells us, you and I have tasted the kindness of the Lord. The Lord has been kind to us, therefore we should speak words of kindness to others. Be kind and, hey, here's that word, compassionate. You recognize that word? That's our old friend splenidzomai, right? It's a form of that gut-wrenching compassion that Jesus has for us. We should use words that reflect Jesus's gut-wrenching compassion for people. And of course, here in verse 32, we get to the heart of this passage, our true motivation for living the Christian life. Our motivation for living the Christian life is not because God told us to, not because God doesn't, or we don't want to be on God's naughty list. No. The reason for living the Christian life is found right here in Ephesians 4:32. Forgive one another as Christ forgave you. Sanctification, living the Christian life, is not law, it's gospel. The motivation for sanctification is Christ's love, grace, and compassion. We love because Christ first loved us. We forgive because Christ has already forgiven us. And now we speak words of forgiveness because Jesus speaks words of forgiveness to us. What did Jesus say to the people who crucified him? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Luke 23:34. What does Jesus say to us through the pastor each week here at church? As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what does Jesus say to each and every one of us at the altar every week here in church? Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. As sinners, we need to hear those words of forgiveness over and over again. And so does everyone you know, again, starting in your own household with your spouse, your kids, your parents, your sister, your brother. Everyone needs to hear the words, I love you, and everyone needs to hear the words, I forgive you, especially when they sin against you and say they're sorry. They need to know they are forgiven. I love you and I forgive you are some of the most powerful words in the English language. You see, the tongue has the power of life and death. Choose your words carefully. Finally, number four, thankful words. Ephesians 5:4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, I don't think I need to go into that too much. That's the language of the world, right? That is not the language of God's holy people. We are new people in Christ. We don't use the language of the world. Locker room language is not appropriate for public use. It's not even appropriate for the locker room. Why? Is it because God's too sensitive and he's too easily offended? Obviously not. God's heard more of that kind of talk than any of us, and he still loves human beings anyway. No. Paul says the reason we shouldn't use those words is because they're out of place. It's not only the language of immature people, it's also the attitude that's behind the language. Behind that attitude, the attitude that's behind that kind of language is a negative attitude. It's an attitude of unthankfulness. When you use that kind of language, you're acting like a rude and spoiled child, not like one of God's children, not like the new person in Jesus Christ you are called to be. Because the motivation of God's children is thankfulness. And God always gives us something to be thankful about. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so many material blessings. So many material blessings, we can't find a place to put it all. And we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, including, most importantly, the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Our attitude should be one of constant thankfulness. And the world should hear how thankful we are. They should hear it in our voice, and they should hear it in our words. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 encourages us to do this all the time. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Joy, prayer, giving thanks. That's what the Christian life is about. We should constantly be talking about how good God is, and about how blessed we are. But you know what? The Bible says we should go even farther than that. We should do more than talk. We should also sing. That's Paul's conclusion here in Ephesians chapter 5. As you read farther on in the book, Paul makes the point, God deserves not just prayers and thanksgiving, but the constant singing of his praises. You speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for, and that should motivate us to say the kind of words that come not from the sinful nature, but from the Holy Spirit. Encouraging words, calm words, forgiving words, forgiving as Christ forgave us. And thankful words, giving thanks to God for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.